All right, folks, so you've heard me talk about Hillsdale College giving away free copies of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence to my listeners for Constitution Day on September 17th. They've set an immediate goal to give copies to 1 million Americans who don't have one. And if not you, then maybe a young person that you know. And the response has been tremendous. However, this free offer for my listeners ends soon. So if you haven't already, order your free copy right now at dana4hillsdale.com. Because every American should have a copy of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And these days, when most schools neglect to teach our kids about our nation's great heritage of liberty, it's more critical than ever to make sure that these documents are readily available to them. So to claim your free copy, visit dana4hillsdale.com today, complete a very simple form, and receive your booklet through the mail, and you don't even have to pay for shipping. But as I mentioned, this offer expires soon. So order your copy now at dana4hillsdale.com. That's dana4hillsdale.com. Don't delay.
My only conversation with Jeffries, I got a lot of respect for him, you know. You guys do whatever you need to do. I get politics. I understand where people are. I truly believe, though, the institution of the House. At the end of the day, if you throw a speaker out that has 99% of their conference, that kept government open and paid the troops, I think we're in a really bad place for how we're going to run Congress.
So are you expecting Democrats to back you up then?
No, I personally am not.
Do you need their help?
So this is the, and I hate even talking about this because I think that this is one of the stupidest things, and you guys know how I feel about it. And I've been doing this for way too long. I've been attacked by the establishment. I mean, I don't know who else can say that they had a former House Speaker tail them one time because they criticized them, but I sure as hell can. But this is one of the stupidest things that I've ever seen. It really is. During a time when you have everything going on, I mean, you have Hunter Biden going into court today, and you got two Trump dudes fighting it out in the House because of a dick measuring contest. Don't get mad at me for telling the truth. I'm done. I'm ready to like give both fingers of the party, burn it all down and walk off. Honestly, the GOP is so leaderless and pathetic and cringe that they're driving people away more than they're encouraging them to support them. I mean, we don't need two Democrat parties, but with the behavior that they're demonstrating right now in the House, it sure as hell seems like we got it. And so people can get mad at me all day long for just telling you what other people are too afraid to say out loud. But see, I don't care about getting invites to their stupid little cocktail parties or eating their rubber chicken at their goofy, and you know, yeah, at their goofy galas. I don't care about any of that stuff because I hate these people. And this is just it. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Because this was the big fight that was taking place all day yesterday, and it's going to continue. And I'm just going to give you just the straight no chaser what's happening, because there's a lot of stuff out there that I don't think people know about. And there's a lot of stuff out there that just is not correct. And I think people need to understand the process, especially some of these, you know, these activists that I see out there who sure as hell don't know what conservatism means. And they think that populism is the same thing, and it's not. But I mean, it's a mess. We're also going to get into Hunter Biden showed up in court. And that was super fun. He showed up in court today. We're going to talk all the latest about that. I have one story that I'm working on that I'm going to share with you and kind of walk through it. It's not going to be up until later tonight, but you need to check and see what in your school district, in your county, what your tax dollars are going to support. Because we found out, and again, this is what I've been going through, screenshots and all of this. We found out that in our county, we have our tax dollars going towards this activist group that teaches menstruation equity, whatever that is. What is that? What is even that? Like, again, dudes, if you're bleeding out of your nethers, see a doctor. So I'm gonna talk a little bit about that, and then there's a piece that's coming out about that later this evening. But it's pretty, you need to check it. They're so shady in how they siphon off all your tax dollars. They're so shady in how they do this. So we're gonna talk about this as well. I got a lot of just different stuff to hit. We're also going to talk about some of the latest with immigration and then crime, because you got Henry Cuellar, who was carjacked in D.C., another member of Congress who has been targeted just not because he's in Congress, but just because the crime is so bad. This is how bad everything is. It is this bad, this bad, this bad, this bad. So all of this stuff, this is what we're going to, oh, and then the latest with Democrats, because Jamal Bowman, I did not see this coming. He pulled the fire alarm. That was supposed to be a play on words. He pulled the fire, no, it's all right, pulled the fire alarm, and then he called everybody Nazis. He actually did that, so we're going to talk about that as well. All right, so just real quick, because I'm not going to spend an inordinate amount of time on this today. I'm just not. It is what it is. Here's what you got to realize, because I was talking to a lot of Congress people last night. I was reaching out, and everybody that I knew, I shook them down for answers. And I'm like, I want to know what's going on. And if you're lying to me, I'm going to kick your ass. I didn't say it just like that, but that was implied. Because I think this is ridiculous. I understand that, you know, they have their strategy and they got to do all this stuff. But at the same time, we're all sitting here on the sidelines watching it. And this is our money at stake. So you have two Trump dudes who are fighting it out, and they, because Trump likes Kevin McCarthy. Trump endorsed Kevin McCarthy, and Trump yesterday would not come out and criticize Kevin McCarthy. I'll get into that later. He also likes Matt Gaetz, although he didn't back the last time that they were challenging Kevin McCarthy, because Trump actually went and said that he liked McCarthy and he wanted McCarthy to stay in power. So, you know, I mean, there's all of this stuff. You got to keep this in mind. So you have two Trump dudes who are fighting for favor in the House. One is making really bad decisions, then the other's less than great decisions. So it's an absolute mess. And so what you have is dwindling numbers to on either faction of the right, and it's going to make one faction of the right, actually both of them are doing this, have to work with and work with Democrats in order to try and get past this. And Democrats are using Ukraine funding as leverage. That's what's happening. That's just the bare bones of it. Anyone who's telling you otherwise is a blanking moron and has no idea what's happening in Congress or how their Congress works. I'm just going to be very quick with it, because I spent a lot of my time last night till 1 a.m. running stuff down, getting explanations from people so I could explain this to you today without having to regurgitate like every other talking head on radio or TV what was written in Real Clear Politics' summary email this morning. So that's the gist of it. That is the absolute gist of it. And so two people fighting for favor, and you can, and that's what I don't get, is why people are trying to make this a primary thing. They're two Trump people who are fighting out for influence. That's what this is. End of. Gaetz is making a bad decision because his, and this is what made me enraged yesterday, because his moves yesterday scuttled the most conservative CR. Now, separate from that are the arguments about the budget, et cetera, et cetera. I get all of it. I know. My gosh, gag me. I get it. I've been talking about this for over 12 years. But the problem with this is that you got to start somewhere. You can't send nothing to the Senate. And a lot of these other proposals that have been popping up in the House were garbage. So pushing and getting everybody on board with at least 8% cuts is a starting point. You have to start somewhere. If you want to be able, like I do, to walk in Congress and throw it around on the ground and be like, this is my way or the highway, well, then we got to win more seats. That's how it's always been. And it's not just about winning seats. It's winning seats with good quality candidates and not losing them in stupid elections and playing things wrong, like having, you know, Dr. Oz up in Pennsylvania. You got to actually have good candidates and win seats in order to be able to throw it around. So that's the reality of it. So you have Gaetz, who this stunt yesterday, he was getting some other people to stand against this one of the proposals. It was the proposal that entirely eliminated Ukraine funding. It was a proposal that continued to spend for the border. Border security actually increased that priority. Continued VA and military, and then it reduced everything else across the board just by 8%. Now, there were some other proposals out there that were like, oh, well, it was only going to reduce, you know, future funding. No, this is what this bill did. This is why it had every member of the House. This is why so many people were supporting it. And then Gaetz wanted to use it as a way to grandstand and fight with McCarthy, because I think he feels like he's got to fight Kevin McCarthy for Trump's favor. I honestly feel like that's what this is. Gaetz doesn't want McCarthy to rise in Trump's esteem. So he's got to do this. McCarthy's got to defend his position. And then guess what? We all get to bend over the barrel and keep funding Ukraine and everything else at existing levels. That is exactly what is happening. And we're all caught in the middle. So this is, you know, it's so stupid. It is so stupid. And so I don't know, you know, they don't have. And the other thing is, too, when you make this move, you've got to have a backup plan. You have people like Jim Jordan and Thomas Massie, of all people. Thomas Massie is so conservative. Other conservative members of the House hate him. He's even out there going, wait, whoa, 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 whoa. You realize what just happened here? I got into it with an elected official last night. I was like, I want you to be straight, no chaser with me. I want to know if there's any kind of secret deal, because I heard all these people going, oh, there's a secret deal with Ukraine. Guys, there's not a secret deal with Ukraine. Democrats are using it as leverage, and they're leaking stuff to Politico, acting like they're making backroom deals. That's what's happening. And some of the people that the left hate the worst, that are the most conservative people in the House, and maybe one of two that I don't hate, those are the people that were telling me this. So you have people who don't like Kevin McCarthy that were saying, okay, this is actually what's happening. This is not accurate. Because I wasn't going to run to air and, you know, start telling you guys stuff that wasn't accurate and that hasn't been fact checked. So that's the breakdown. That's just the 30,000 what's happening. Coming up, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about strategy. Can we talk about Henry Cuellar, though, right now? The law and order situation that is happening right now in D.C. It is so bad that you can't even walk around, apparently. You can't walk around it, or you can't drive your car. You can't do anything. Armed carjackers, three of them, not even a mile from the Capitol. He was held at gunpoint, his car stolen outside of his D.C. apartment. Because all these, and he's from Texas. You have these, a lot of these lawmakers, they have their apartments, obviously, in D.C. because they're there for quite a bit. But K Street and New Jersey Avenue. It was in Navy Yard neighborhood. And they actually, apparently the D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency sent out the alert. Three male suspects, all armed, after dinner. Cuellar said his dinner to go. He picked up dinner to go. His phone and iPad and car were all stolen. Later, they recovered them, though. It was about 9:30 last night. He was parking his car. He said, they came out of nowhere, pointing their guns at me. He goes, I do have a black belt. But I recognize when you've got three guns, you know, he goes, I looked at one with another gun, no one behind me. They said they wanted my car. I said, sure. He goes, you got to keep calm in those situations. And then they took off. They did recover everything. But he goes, what really got me upset was they took my sushi. But anyway, that's something else, he said. That was actually kind of funny. He does not believe that he was targeted as a member of Congress, and he doesn't think that the assailants knew who he was. I don't think that they did either. Honestly, I don't think they knew who he was. So this is how bad it is, though. It is this bad. You got congressmen that are getting carjacked in D.C. And that's not the first time. You had another lawmaker at their apartment. We got a lot more of this to come. We're also going to have the latest with Jamal Bowman, because, man, he made a mess for himself. And Hakeem Jeffries, who I think gets paid every time he says extreme. Pretty sure. We've got all of that. We've got the latest with Hunter Biden. Apparently, there's a Chris Christie and Vivek Ramaswamy slap off tonight. It's just going to be Christie. He's just going to eat him. That's what's going to happen. So we're going to get into that. We're going to look at maybe what's the GOP going to do to get out of this mess and get us, you know, back on the road here? Because this is just the 30-day reprieve. So we're going to get into all of that and a lot more.
Black Rifle Coffee Company, together with the Boot Campaign, are on a mission to raise $1 million to change the lives of veterans. Now through the end of the year, when you grab a can of ready-to-drink coffee, you can help contribute to making this massive donation possible. The Boot Campaign is one of the most renowned veteran-focused nonprofits in the country, working tirelessly to provide life-changing aid and benefits to service members and their families. Black Rifle Ready-to-Drink Coffee is available in several great-tasting flavors at blackriflecoffee.com/Dana or at convenience stores nationwide. Whether it's the berry mocha, vanilla bomb, or espresso salted caramel, every can helps. Fuel your caffeine fix while making a huge difference in the lives of veterans and their families. Black Rifle Coffee Company is committed to serving the veteran community, and with your help, we can all continue to make a difference. Let's raise a can together and keep fueling Americans for a good cause. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
99%. That's the amount of homes in the U.S. that are unaffordable for the average American. After a mass exodus from major cities after COVID, there is not enough supply. With the Fed raising rates so fast, why would anyone want to sell their home? Is this bubble going to pop? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, so first and foremost, let it hit us. Let this thing hit us. NASA has delayed the Psyche asteroid mission over the spacecraft's thrusters. It's 16 Psyches, considered a dwarf planet. It's about 140 miles in diameter. And so they wanted to investigate this metal-rich asteroid, but their spacecraft thrusters... Try to say that really fast. Spacecraft thrusters. They said that... the agency announced this last week. They said they're going to push it back a week. Just let it hit us. Just let it hit us. I'm fine with us. But I do want the metals out of that. What did they say? It was like 11 quadrillion. It's like a new numerical amount. Los Angeles's controversial zero bail policy has taken effect because the judge has ruled that cash bail is discriminatory against minorities and the poor, which to me sounds super discriminatory just by itself. If you're saying that minorities and the poor just... Wow, that's so super ridiculously racist. But it's officially known as pre-arraignment release protocols. The zero bail policy has been slammed by cops who say it's going to undermine crime fighting. Of course it's going to. And the new law comes as officials in L.A. say that organized crime and pandemic era zero cash bail, that's to blame for all of the smash and grab stuff that's been going on. Yeah, you know, it has been. So that's everywhere that they've implemented this. It has been absolutely disastrous. I don't know why they think that this is going to be any different. This is horrifying. NBC, Coast Guard calls off search for a man who was reported missing after a possible shark attack in California. So they were apparently looking for this guy. They got a call that this man had disappeared on Wildcat Beach at Point Reyes National Seashore. He was with a small group when he disappeared. He was not named yesterday. A member of the group told officials that he disappeared after a shark attack. They had two helicopters, all kinds of stuff. They called the search off yesterday. They said that there's dozens of miles of beach, but man, can you imagine? That's terrifying. That's a terrifying thing. That's absolutely terrifying. And a grizzly bear, this is in Banff, Canada's national park in Canada. A grizzly bear killed a couple and their dog inside of the park. This is just terrifying. This took place actually on Friday, but it's making the news over, starting to make the news yesterday. Grizzly bear attacked and killed the couple and their dog. It was at Red Deer River Valley. It took place on Friday night. They had the wildlife human attack response team and who responded. And they said that they found the bodies of the people at 1 a.m. local time. That's horrific. All right, stay with us because we got a lot more in store. Does it seem like every time you turn around or open up your wallet, you're shocked at the changes that have directly impacted your life in just 2.5 years? There's something that you can do to protect the value of your hard-earned savings and retirement accounts. Contact the folks at American Hartford Gold and talk to them about your options in diversifying your assets. Empower yourself with opportunity. Hold on to the fruits of your hard work and protect your future. So do what I did and call the only precious metal dealers I trust, American Hartford Gold. Diversify your portfolio with physical gold and silver delivered right to your door door or inside of your IRA or 401k. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188. Or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188. Or text Dana to 998899.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We need more officers. We don't have the officers that we need, and sadly, we've lost 300 to 400 officers in the last 4 years. We haven't had officers in our schools, and we have policies that make it difficult to recruit new officers.
Well, that's what did you think was going to happen with this? This is the mayor of D.C. saying that the nation's capital, we're short 400 cops. Wow, who could have foreseen something like this happening? I just, you know, who saw this coming? And this, of course, is after this carjacking of a member of Congress. It's just everywhere. It's so bad. Henry Cuellar carjacked right in your Navy Yard. I mean, it's like not even barely a mile. Barely a mile. And the crime is so, the only time that they write about it anymore is when it happens to a member of Congress. Honestly. Good heavens. I mean, just look at it. Look at it everywhere. It's just crazy. You see it in San Francisco. You see it in Chicago. Did you see the war rioting, or not rioting, but looting in Chicago? Of course, are you surprised that people are just not wanting to follow the law at all? Because, I mean, look what's happening at the southern border. They see the federal government. They see the federal government involved in this, participating. It is amazing. I'm looking at all these headlines, all this law and order, all the crime, everything else. Like I touched on this Jamal Bowman thing. If you get the newsletter, you got some stuff about this just yesterday with his latest. I don't even know, man. This is so crazy. So we know that he Jamal Bowman, you know that he pulled the fire alarm. We all know this stuff, right? You know, he got confused as to how fire alarms work. So then he was sending around talking points to all of the other his Democrat members of Congress. He was sending out these talking points to all of the other Democrat members, telling them that he needs them to help defend him against these horrible Republican attacks. The Republicans were pouncing. That's what it was. Pouncing or seizing or both. It's a pounce, seize, pounce. And he was saying, this is what he tweeted, because this piece came out in Politico. I don't know if y'all saw this. Well, you do. You did. If you actually get the newsletter, you saw this. So this piece in Politico, it says, Representative Jamal Brown is circulating a list of talking points to fellow Democrats in a bid to stop the burgeoning GOP push to punish him after he set off a House fire alarm during Saturday's chaotic spending votes. The New York Democrats press secretary sent out a memo on Monday afternoon to all House Democratic offices requesting that they defend Bowman for the flap over the alarm, which has prompted a Republican push to sanction him. One suggested response from Bowman's office to questions about the incident, quote, I believe Congressman Bowman when he says this was an accident. Republicans need to instead focus their energy on the Nazi members of their party before anything else. Now, Brown is here. So this is what's crazy. So then he tweets, and it's in there. I mean, it was in the, I mean, I got a screenshot of what they were sending out. It literally says, there's like a handful of bullet points. And it says, oh, it's clear my colleague was simply just rushing to the floor to cast his vote, or voting doesn't occur in the Cannon House building. It only occurs in the Capitol. The alarm didn't interrupt our business on the floor today in the slightest. I mean, they give all of these, you know, these manufactured talking points to defend him. And literally one of them was Republicans need to focus their energy on the Nazi members of their party before anything else. That was actually like a thing that was an actual thing that they were putting out. So then Bowman sends out a tweet saying this, quote, I just became aware that in our messaging guidance, there was inappropriate use of the term Nazi without my consent. I condemn the use of the term Nazi out of its precise definition. It is important to specify the term Nazi to refer to members of the Nazi Party and neo-Nazis. That's his tweet. I mean, is there an appropriate use of the term? I'm just, you know, I'm kind of curious about this. Is there an appropriate use of this term? Because, and then he's like, oh, well, you know, it should only be the actual Nazi Party and neo-Nazis. Okay, well, I don't know if there's any, are there actual neo-Nazis or Nazis in the, I don't know of any. But he throws his staff under the bus. So now he throws his staff under the bus. Now, one of my friends, and he's not with the campaign, he just has the same name as somebody who is, Stephen Miller, was saying that, citing the statute of triggering a false alarm, too. You're looking at, if you're watching the simulcast, you're looking at Jamal Bowman's, his tweet. I mean, really, is there an actual appropriate use? So the statute of pulling said fire alarm is punishment up to $10,000 in fines and a prison sentence of up to 6 months. Now, if he subverted, or if they find that he's guilty of subverting an official government proceeding, that's a felony and it's 20 years in prison. By the way, that is the exact same statute that the DC prosecutors with the DOJ, that is the absolute statute that has been used against people who are at J6, is that exact statute. It's 18 USC 1512 subsection C. And that's what they use to prosecute. You know, you disrupted an official proceeding. That's what this is. So you can, I'm just curious because it's clear that he did this as a way to delay the vote. And I saw this yesterday, but Lorraine reminds me, like, Bowman has called people Nazis before, by the way, too, on Twitter. There's always a tweet, right? Always. I mean, he's always a tweet. He was like calling one conservative a Nazi hellbent on keeping only white men alive and in power. That's like a direct quote from his tweet, for the love. So where's the consistency here? One of our contributors, PJ Miller, had this piece up at Substack. I mean, where is the consistency? I mean, they went after people who didn't even go into the Capitol, and there were like quite a few of them. I mean, they went after people who were in the Capitol and the people who, you know, were rioting or whatever. The people who were beating up the people's house. And I told you my thoughts on this. I don't have to relitigate it. But the folks who didn't even go in, there were those individuals who got hit with this statute. So I'm curious, like, where is the consistency being applied here? There's zero consistency. So I've got some questions. I know you all have questions about that, too. Like, where are you going to see that? Now, speaking of law and order, Hunter Biden, by the way, let's talk about this for a moment. Where's this headline? I saved this because it was one of the first things that I saw this morning. Oh, he looked chipper as he walked into the courtroom. That was an actual headline. He looked chipper, guys. Yeah, he looked a little. He looked chipper going into the courtroom today. So here's the other crazy thing that's coming out about this now. This was also in your prep if you get this over at Chapter and Verse over at Substack. So Hunter Biden, okay, you know that he hired prostitutes, right? But he apparently hired prostitutes from an Eastern European sex trafficking ring. And it was a group that trafficked women and prostituted them out. And the ring included women that had Russian passports and a Chinese company to which based in China, to which the money was funneled. He spent in just 5 months, he spent a staggering $30,000 on prostitutes in 5 months. Now, you do remember there, I think this was Daily Caller that maybe had this. I think it was the Daily Caller that had at one point Joe Biden giving him money to cover some bills. And that was at this exact point. It was at this exact point that that happened. Now, the investigators that are looking into this, and Wells Fargo, their own, because they even had their own suspicions. Now, all of this was ticked off. If you remember, all of this began because they were funneling, you know, pushing all of this money around to these different shell companies. And that kicked off that suspicious activity report. And they started really closely monitoring his accounts. And then there was the red flag that went up with some of the money going to this particular group that was known to participate in human trafficking, this Eastern European prostitution ring. So it was an unreported document that was previously, hadn't been known previously. And it was filed to the Department of the Treasury in December of 2019. And it was the financial crime investigators over at Wells Fargo. And they had identified 25 people that were linked to the ring and over $7 million of all of these very suspicious transactions. And these were checks that they thought Hunter was falsifying checks to hide his payments to hookers from his business account. And he was sending money to people who were a part of this ring. And the other thing is, too, that the investigators were also monitoring several other Wells Fargo customers who were suspected of participating in this exact same sex trafficking ring, and they were associated with Biden. You cannot make this stuff up. You cannot make it up. So they, you know, they, all of this stuff, these reports are filed to the Treasury when they notice this suspicious behavior, and that's what happened. $30,000. Now, they also tracked over $1 million sent from his company, one of his companies, to Rob Walker, a former Clinton administration official who's one of Hunter's business partners and a friend. And he partnered with Biden with a lot of his shady stuff. So all of this, I mean, they also had cash withdrawals, which I'm pretty sure were used with. I mean, they even made withdrawals in Monaco. He was doing drugs and prostitutes and all this other stuff. I mean, and he also made these peer-to-peer transfers on Zelle. That's the other thing. That's a whole separate amount of money, which is $30,000 something. And that's also linked to sex trafficking. This is crazy. And I mean, it gets even weirder because apparently Hallie Biden, who is his sister-in-law turned lover turned ex, also apparently spent time with one of the women that apparently, oh my gosh, this is so gross. Like, I hate that you can't read any articles about this without a ton of photographic evidence. It's so disgusting. I just need to wash my computer with Purell. All of it. So he was in court today on the gun charge. Didn't he buy two guns? Like a 9mm and like a 38 revolver. I'm going to come back to this. We got a lot more on the way. In fact, we have some culture stuff coming up and the vindication of Trevor Bauer, a Major League Baseball player who had his life ruined because he was falsely accused of rape. And the chick who falsely accused him is a real piece of work. I just 5 minutes with her. She's like a chick I totally would beat up. Did you see some of the video of her floating around, Kane?
Yeah,
her being nasty and totally capital B itchy to people. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. And when I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of the show, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you're getting the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech and religious freedom, the sanctity of life, the Second Amendment, military veterans, and first responders. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT and get free activation when you use offer code Dana. Join me and make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Mary Kay Sandlin. I went to Ireland and did my genealogy and everything. I got a Scanlon back.
Golly, he's like barely sent me. He botches Representative Mary Scanlon's name, and then he's like, I think you might be my 19th cousin. So, yeah. Well, at least, like, you could kind of understand what he was saying, right? Right? No, I couldn't. I'm just going to jump off my roof. You know what's going to happen? Everything is going to get dumb, and it's going to get this. It's going to keep this guy in office. That's what's going to happen. It's going to keep this guy in office. He's going to stay in office. There you go. All right. So that's, yeah, it's like he barely opens his mouth. He just does like this, Kane. He just talks like this. He might be my cousin. I still love that. What was it? The video that we had yesterday where he looked up almost like slow-mo and went for just what, 60 seconds?
That's another one from this morning.
No.
Yeah.
Do it. Do it.
By the end of a governing crisis, it's time to end it. These constant. Yeah, anyway, that would be good.
What is he saying, even?
I don't know.
He just stops and is like, anyway.
I don't know. I don't know. I was thinking when the last time he actually had a for real press conference. And I don't really think I remember. Do you?
No.
Like an actual legitimate for real presser where he took fielded questions and, you know, did that kind of stuff. I don't remember. I don't remember when he did that. It's been so long. Of course, you see stuff like this and then you wonder why Democrats are so freaked out and they're so hell bent on getting you to focus on everything that Republicans are doing. They hype up everything that Republicans are doing. If Republicans disagree, then they have to hype it up and make it look like it's worse than it is. If it's, you know, whatever, then they want to make it look like a total civil war on the right, because this is what they're dealing with on the left. They can't have a civil war on the left because both parties have to have like brains in order for that to happen. Like both factions have to have brains. Look at Joe Biden. You can't. I mean, that's not a fair fight, right? It's not a fair fight. All right. So coming up, I'm just giving you, I want to give you, like I said, the basic understanding of the machinations in the House. We also got to talk about Trevor Bauer and false accusations of rape and how it's so pervasive. Like even in my son's college, they're sending out these videos to just the boys about this Title IX stuff. We're going to talk about all that coming up. Stick with us.
30 seconds, and that's
yeah,
okay.
30 seconds.
Can you tell us what happened and how you found out?
Yeah, I was just coming into my place. Three guys came out of nowhere and they pointed guns at me. I do have a black belt, but I recognize when you got three guns. I looked at one with a gun, another one with a gun, a third one behind me. So they said they wanted my car. I said, sure, you got to keep calm in those situations. And then they took off. They recovered the car. They recovered everything. What really got me upset was they took my sushi. But anyway, that's something else. And they did recover the sushi after all. But anyway, I do want to thank the Capitol Police, and I certainly want to thank the Metro Police. I'm a big law enforcement person. I got three brothers that are law enforcement, so I certainly appreciate the good work that the police did last night. Everything was recovered, my phone, my car, and everything.
Three guns pointed at you?
Yes.
Hmm. Unbelievable. That's Representative Henry Cuellar, who was carjacked less than a mile from the Capitol building. Craziness. Three dudes. I love how he said, you know, they took my sushi. He was very upset about that. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen, stream the radio program. You can listen coast to coast. You can also find us on the simulcast, YouTube, Facebook, in channel 347, Direct TV as well. And the law and order situation is crazy. I'm nonstop. It's insane. And whether it's in D.C., it's in the Navy Yard. I mean, you're like less than what? A mile from the Capitol. I mean, out of every place that should be at least safe and kind of locked down, you think that would be it, right? No, think again. Not going to happen. We got more on this. I wanted to hit two. And talk to some of this other stuff. I'm working on a piece right now where you need to really pay attention to where your tax dollars are going. This is crazy. I was looking at this. This is in my county, Tarrant County, we have our commissioner's court meeting. And I think a lot of people, they just don't pay attention to some of this stuff because it's not national, or by the time it hits, then it's, you know, it's they'll only pay attention to it if it becomes like a national thing. So in my county, actually today they were having it, their commissioner's court meeting. They had a $675,000 request for taxpayer dollars to fund this thing called the Girls Inc. for the next fiscal year. Now, this is where it stops being, oh, well, it's a club. Kids can form whatever clubs. No, not when they're actually demanding money through these channels. So Girls Inc., I mean, has been getting taxpayer dollars. It promotes, I mean, it's a group that promotes like CRT and, you know, the trans movement, etc. They encourage girls ages 10 to 15 to, quote, embrace sexuality. They advance menstrual equity, where I don't even understand what that is. I need to really pause there. I mean, this is stuff like from their own like mission statements. I mean, this is the stuff that they have. They talk about menstruation equity and how girls should be inclusive of men who menstruate. Cane your face. Are you okay? Mm-hmm.
Why are we entertaining this? At all. Mm-hmm. Men who menstruate?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
No. No.
Well, that's what then you're engaging in discrimination and harassment.
Mm. Is that what they're calling science now? That's weird.
Yeah. 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 I've always said, if you're a dude and you're bleeding from that area, you need medical attention. So they also really go after police, law enforcement. See, this is like part of the thing. I just want to point out, like, you had three younger dudes that carjacked Henry Cuellar. And when you look at a lot of the law and order situations and the looting and all of this stuff, it's like younger, you know, young adults. What do you think like organizations like this are teaching them in school? So they get into they really push the trans stuff. Really push. They push embrace your sexuality. I mean, literally the girls is like age 10. Like, what in the world are you talking about? That's like the Barbie generation, right? That's not like embrace your sexuality generation. This is just really crazy stuff. And they want taxpayer dollars. They actually expect some taxpayer dollars. They expect that, you know, that this is something that they can ask for. It's just craziness. You know, and I'm looking at this stuff. They these are not like Stromian arguments. Those, and apparently the Fort Worth City Council funds Girls Inc. too. And you're, this is here in Texas. You can just see from their own actual materials the stuff that they support and the stuff that they promote. I'm just still, again, trying to figure out what menstruation equity is. Like, why would you want some of that? For real. Like, why would you want some of that? That's asinine. It's not a fun thing, dudes. It's not a fun thing. Stop. But taxpayer dollars. If they think it's so important, why don't they just have like a, why don't they have private funding? Why do they have to shake down the taxpayer for this stuff? I $670,000+ at a time when people are broke. I mean, quite frankly, people are absolutely broke. I'm just looking at some of the, I was looking at some of the comments on this, that go, because the left was just like losing their minds over this, saying that, oh, they do a lot of good stuff for the community. I don't think so. Like, this is what they say. They talk about menstrual equity, the affordability, accessibility, and safety of what? Of menstrual products, education, reproductive care. They look at, oh, they say people who menstruate. They say menstruators. Oh, God. Not making this up. This is like actually their stuff. They said people who have periods or menstruate. This term is inclusive of transgender men and non-binary people who experience menstrual cycles.
Biological
women. Okay. Yeah, that's biological women. Okay. That's who experiences that. It's biological women. This is the attempted erasing of women. Yeah, they get into the tampon tax. This is what Girls Inc. does. This is the like this is the stuff that they do. And so they had a what do you want to call it? Like the open comment forum for this today. So because they want tax dollars. They need tax dollars for this stuff. $675,000 request to fund them for the next fiscal year.
Nope.
And they also very much advance progressive political positions, obviously. And that would include candidates, too. Why are you so discriminatory, Kane? What gets me, you know, I'm looking at some of the stuff on this. The remarks from the leftists that are losing their minds over this because they cannot stand that somebody called this out. It was a dad in the area who called this out. And by the way, Kane, I'm just, you know, because they always say it's a bunch of racist old white people that say this kind of stuff. He looks like he's in his 30s. He's a dad. His name is Carlos Turchios. You know, sounds like a total white dude, oh, right? Yeah, probably from, white. You know, somewhere in Norway.
So white.
Yeah. Super white guy. Carlos Turchios. Yeah. Super white guy. That's the other thing, too. They've targeted our county, especially with the school board stuff. And you guys have seen this, too. Like, you know, you saw how they went after Loudoun County. You know who heads up Loudoun County? It's a Muslim Democrat mom. She was like, what are you teaching my kids? The same thing here in the area that I live in. You literally had a Cuban family that was one of the leading families in this. And when NBC and Lester Holt, it takes everything I have not to say Mo Lester. Lester Holt, when they came in town because they wanted to like try to do all this division and all this stuff. When they came into town, and we're doing a story on this, they would not speak with the Cuban family. They would only speak with minority leftists and the woman, the black mother that was speaking out and was acting like she, you know, was the avatar for the whole, you know, we have to do this because of discrimination in the school. So we need to have all this trans stuff and everything else. She doesn't even live in this area. She doesn't pay tax in this area. Her kids didn't even go to the school. NBC failed to actually include that in their coverage. So this is, and this is in Fort, this is in suburbs of Fort Worth that this is happening. $675,000 to fund this stuff. Now, what have you been hearing about teachers? Teachers need to get paid more. Teachers need this. What do you think $675,000 could do for like benefits or salaries of teachers instead of funding teaching menstruation equity? What do you think that could do? Don't you think that could maybe help some teachers? Maybe they could hire some, like, you know, tutors for the kids. You have children that are struggling to meet basic academic standards in a number of districts across the country, and this is what they want to spend taxpayer dollars on. I mean, it's shameful. And I have to tell you, and like scrolling through the comments on this, I'm going to say it. What in the hell is wrong with progressive white women? Can I just ask this question? What is wrong with progressive white women? All of these activists, I feel like they're moms with these progressive white moms with Munchausens by proxy. They have to fabricate an activist issue within their home so that they can get attention for themselves, acting as like a warrior for the cause. What gets me is going through these comments, I've noticed, and I've noticed this nationally as well, it seems like it is disproportionately white progressive women going after more conservative, and I would say predominantly Hispanic, at least in my area, parents who are speaking up against this stuff. Now, who's the racist? You know, to going by their logic. $675,000. I have a piece that's coming out about this evening, and there's a lot of screenshots in this because this is, I mean, I just cannot believe, what do you need $675,000 for? That's the other thing. What do you spend that on? You're talking to people, well, girls can be boys and boys can be girls. I mean, kids are wanting to know how to do their damn taxes. They're wanting to understand, you know, how to be adults, what they need to know about interest rates and mortgages. And instead, you're spending money on, well, we're going to teach you that men can bleed too. Men also get their periods, kids. So goofy. What do you need $675,000 on? To make memes on Instagram that says menstruation equity or pride is every day? What do you need $675,000 taxpayer dollars for? I know. It's kind of rhetorical. It really is. But this blows my mind. Yeah, as you were saying, it must be some kind of social score. I don't know. This whole thing is, but I'll have a piece that comes out. So you're going to want to sign up for that if you haven't already over at Chapter and Verse, because it's going to come out there later this evening. All right. So I was reading about this, the one-time pitcher for Cleveland. I know, we got to get going. We're going to talk about this because Trevor Bauer had to fight for his reputation. And this guy has been absolutely railroaded, his life ruined over false accusations of rape. What's Girls Inc. doing about that, by the way? I'm just curious. We're going to get into that and more.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Apple is going to issue a software update to address the iPhone 15 overheating complaints, because this has already been happening with people. They've already been complaining about it. They said that there have been like tons of video. It's iOS 17. They said they're fixing, it's a combination of bugs in the new iOS, bugs in the apps, and a temporary setup period that requires extra processing and therefore produces more heat generation. So they said that that's going to address all of those things. We'll see if it actually does affect it in the long run. Mobile phones are to be banned in schools in the UK. Their education secretary is announcing a dramatic intervention to the relief of parents and teachers. That'll never happen here. Also, fish oil supplements, Kane, are basically worthless. It says they are. It's a new study from the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center in Dallas. They found the labels on fish oil supplements make health claims that are unsubstantiated. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Your lovable curmudgeon, Dana Lash, here with you. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the nationally syndicated radio show. You can watch the simulcast on YouTube, Facebook, as well as DirecTV Channel 347. All kinds of good stuff. We were watching this video. Juan is afraid to play it because he says the B word in it. Juan's so pure of heart. He's so pure. We got to protect Juan at all costs. Must protect Juan. So Trevor Bauer, he was a pitcher for Cleveland, ex-Cleveland pitcher. I'm sure that you have probably seen this story at this point. He played for Cleveland from like what? Up to 2014, 2013, something like that, to 2019. At which point he was basically run out on a rail because he was falsely accused of rape by this chick that he was seeing. And her name's Lindsay Hill. And now, you know, 2 years on, we are just now, everybody's seeing the text messages where she was, that she was sending to her friends saying that he was her next victim. Like, she literally typed this stuff out. And people were asking her, well, how are you? She's like, he's worth $51 million. And she was going to extort him. She said that she was being an absolute skank. She said this. She said she was being an absolute WHORE so that she could get his $51 million. And she said she needed him to choke her out and all this stuff. The morning that she accused him of brutally attacking her, or the morning after she accused him of brutally attacking her and like beating her and putting bruises on her face, she took a selfie video of herself while she was still in bed and he was next to her and she was smirking at the camera. And it was a complete psychotic planning to extort this guy. And he never paid her a dime, but he had to suffer. I mean, he had his career essentially ruined. I mean, I was asking Steve, I'm like, is he still playing in Japan? I think he had to go play in Japan. She got a $300,000 payout from her insurance company. I don't know why. But she accused him of sexual assault in 2021. And she did not win it. She did not succeed in extorting him. And he was also, he pitched 10 seasons in Major League Baseball. And they suspended him for what, 324 games. That's like two seasons. And then they reduced it to 194 games in December of last year. And then the LA Dodgers, which is his former team, released him in 23. Nobody else would sign him. So he signed a $4 million contract with a team in Japan. He was never arrested. He was never charged with a crime. So he sued the girl. He sued the chick who made up the story about him. And she accused him of horrific things, none of which were proven. Like, she accused him of so many horrific things. She's like, he held a knife to my throat and he did this and that and all this other stuff. And this is, as a mom of sons, oh man, God put a hand over my mouth. Not even joking. This is, first off, there's a couple things here. And I can tell this to you dudes without any fear of, because you do have bad chicks out there. I've always told my sons, and even when I was growing up, you know, I think dudes need, if you're going to go out and you're going to get in the dating scene, I always thought it was helpful for dudes to have a female amongst their group who could kind of be a wingman. Because let me tell you something, chicks will know another chick within seconds. And chicks will be like, she's crazy, or she's not crazy, and they're not wrong. And in this day and age, you have a lot of trifling females out there who have no at all whatsoever self-worth, apparently, and they'll do stuff like this. I think if a chick falsely accuses a guy of something this horrific, they should suffer the penalty that would be given him were he guilty of what he was being accused of. Because you are maliciously trying to ruin someone's life with false accusations. And it's gotten so bad. It's affected how men date. It has affected like younger generations. They can't, it's not that an issue of confidence so much as they don't want to ever be falsely accused of something. Yeah, and you can never, and honestly, I get so tired of some of this stuff because you hear, and I have friends who have just girls, I have just boys, and I have friends who have girls and boys. But if you're going to tell everyone else to raise gentlemen, by God, you better raise ladies. Women are not exempt from not acting like absolute mindless sluts who want to drink every drop of liquor at a party. They're not exempt from acting like ladies any more than the men are exempt from acting like gentlemen. This is a two-way street here. As we can see with Trevor Bauer. Now, this chick falsely accused him, tried to ruin his life. And I mean, I think she did impact it. She did. I mean, he definitely can prove damages for sure. The stuff that she was saying and bragging about to her friends, there's all this video of her online being absolutely heinous to people. Horribly mean to people. She looks like a psycho, doesn't she? Doesn't she have crazy eyes, Kane? She got crazy eyes. But it is so prevalent now. It's like for instance, the UVA story. This was several years ago. Rolling Stone wrote this story about this chick who falsely accused a frat of the gang raping her. Ruined these dudes' lives. And as it turned out, she made it all up to try to make the guy she was actually romantically interested in jealous. They never even reached out. Her friends ratted her out. They didn't even bother to do the due diligence. They just took her claims face value. And you had this whole believe all women thing, as though men inherently cannot ever be believed. It is so sexist. We live in such a matriarchal driven society. Do not insist otherwise. We do. Dudes are so, it's not an issue of confidence. They are so nervous about being falsely accused and have their lives ruined because all it takes is an accusation. We live in a society where justice is determined on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. It is the court of public opinion and the penalty is rendered before the truth is even out there. Guys don't have a chance. And because of the pervasive sexist mindset towards men, guys are immediately assumed guilty because they're guys, right? I don't know. It's wild. You instantly have to believe the woman. This chick, I mean, what is ever going to happen to her? She's not going to have any penalty at all whatsoever. Even in the court of public opinion, I mean, people are dragging her, but I mean, she's not losing a job. She's not losing income. She tried to extort this guy, falsely accused him of heinous things, and what? She gets to walk? And the journalist, Molly Knight, who wrote this, she ought to get dragged too, because she enabled all of this stuff. This garbage reporter. It's not a reporter. She did the same thing, what was it, Sabrina Erdley did over at Rolling Stone with the UVA story? Molly Knight just redid that. I mean, false accusations of rape you should suffer the penalty that you're accusing of what the accuser would be convicted of. Yeah, she's protected her tweets now. I couldn't see her stuff yesterday. Yeah, she protected her tweets now. Molly Knight did, the reporter who enabled all of this stuff. It's sad. It's sad. She said that he fractured her skull. She wrote this. Molly Knight literally wrote that Trevor Bauer fractured Lindsay Hill's skull. Well, the video that came out, and by the way, that was hidden from his defense team illegally. That was never shared or made available to his defense team ever. And the video where she took, her skull's supposed to be fractured. She looks fine. She's like smirking at the camera, all this stuff. She's, I mean, nuts. Okay, there's this video that was circulating of her the other night. She looked like, I don't know, she looked like she was at some event. She was like being ignorant to people, going off on me. She's nuts. But she bragged about targeting him. She bragged about all this stuff. I mean, he lost, I don't know what, 2 years of his career because of this gold digging skank. And that's exactly what she is. She's a gold digging skank. Now, this, no. I can say that. It's okay because she is. And dude, you should be able to say it too. Because she is. Lindsay Hill is a gold digging skank. The end. I mean, this guy, the more you read about it, it is one of the most horrific things I've ever read. The stuff that she accused him of. You have to be soulless. It's just evil. It is demonic. And then the Dodgers. When are the LA Dodgers going to apologize? This is their tweet from January 6th. The Dodgers organization believes that allegations of sexual assault or domestic violence should be thoroughly investigated. Blah, 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 blah. And with due process given to the accused. But they never did that. They never gave him due process. They literally, in one paragraph, they said that they should give due process to the accused. And then in the next sentence, they talked about dumping him. And then and they noted on Reddit, too. Reddit moderators are just absolute crap also. They the subreddit on baseball, the baseball thread, they spent 2 years going after, as Kane noted, Bauer. And then when it showed that he was falsely accused, smeared, and his life ruined, the moderators wanting to dodge all culpability locked the thread and deleted comments. So my son is a freshman in college. And their university has been sending out, it's the Office of like Civil Rights, Equity, and Title IX. And they've been sending out these emails demanding that these students, particularly the males, they have to watch these videos or they can be suspended from school. And it basically portrays all men as barbaric animals who can't overcome their rapist urges. And it actually also asks them, do you think if you see a situation where you suspect that this may be happening, should you get involved? Like, they have no regard for the liability that someone else may incur by getting involved in a situation in which they know nothing about, number one. But number two, where's the responsibility for the women? Stop falsely accusing dudes of rape. Stop it. Stop falsely accusing dudes of being rapists. Where are the videos going out to these little princesses about that? Title IX, where's that at? Stop ruining dudes' lives out of spite because you're not good looking enough to attract him. Stop it. Stop being a gold digging skank. Where are the videos going out about this? It is so frustrating. I remember when I was in college and I was, you know, I was raised entirely in a Democrat vacuum. I mean, I had a Democrat family. I did not meet a Republican until I went to college, and I'm not even exaggerating. I grew up in such a bubble. I literally, with my Democrat family and my Democrat bubble, knew no diversity, knew nothing. It wasn't until I actually met Republicans and went to college and like was exposed to greater knowledge that my mind began expanding. And it amazes me that you'd never have thought of doing stuff like this when you're in school. And I used to think, oh, well, you know, I was raised Democrat. I'm probably a feminist. And then I had sons and I'm like, oh, my gosh, this is like third wave feminism is an evil concept that is absolutely antithetical to the purpose of raising good young men. I just look at this stuff and I worry for women, or not women, I worry for men. That's why I'm like, you know, my husband can't hit a girl, but I sure as hell can. That includes some weak dudes too. But I feel so bad for this guy. And I've seen some of these like third waivers out there. Oh, he's still a millionaire baseball player. Shut up, chick, shut up. You ruined his life. You altered his own self-perception. Thankfully, he fought on and he didn't settle for anything. They just wanted him to pay her and go away. He wasn't going to do it. And hopefully this gives a little bit, you know, a little bit of courage to some of these other guys, to some other guys out there. And hopefully it like scares the hell out of some of these gold diggers that think they can extort these guys. Here's the thing. Don't go out and get totally, you know, plastered and lose control of your faculties. And also be careful about your piece that you're going out with, okay? There's too many crazy people that have no sense at all whatsoever of self-respect, self-worth, or right and wrong in this world. This is a horrific story all the way. I have nothing nice to say about this chick.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Oh, boy. An Orlando woman has been arrested for pepper spraying two deputies at Walmart. According to the authorities, Keisha Henderson was booked into jail on several charges, including two counts of battery on law enforcement officer, two counts of resisting with violence. Hernando County Sheriff's Office said in a news release, they said the incident happened Wednesday at a Walmart on Cortez Boulevard in Brooksville. She, Henderson, and another suspect, 33-year-old Kiera Tolliver, distracted an older woman while she was shopping, stole her wallet out of her purse, and used her credit cards to make more than $2,000 in fraudulent purchases. So a deputy working in the store went to take a report for the theft, and he was alerted that they had returned to the store. So they returned back, which was, you know, one of their dumber things. And then when he confronted the suspects, that's when Henderson grabbed a can of pepper spray from her purse, sprayed it at the deputy, and then tried to run off. And he couldn't chase after her. She was eventually taken into custody, though. So she's booked on a whole bunch of charges. Why they you came back to the scene of the crime, you dummy. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
There was no deal. There was no deal to fund Ukraine, Mr. Speaker. He said you cut some side deal. Huh?
That's just Gates with a new attack. He's very good at that.
Gates being Gates. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. It's a fight between two Trump folks and we're all kind of caught in the middle of it because we just want to just don't fund Ukraine and like just make sure that you're not doing anything that's costing us more money. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lesh here with you, your lovable curmudgeon, giving you the 30,000 foot view of this whole thing. And I'm just touching on it because I think that they are. I was pulling this up right now. I do believe that they're going to hold a vote at some point on the speaker. It would be the first in a series of votes, which could happen. You know, I mean, that's, you know, expected. They're set to vote on this. These are all like, you know, it's all parliamentary procedures. There's a whole series of this stuff. And there were at least five that were looking at vacating the chair that came out. It was Gates, Burchett, Good, Crane, and Biggs. That was the list. But that's kind of how it looks right now. So we'll just keep you updated. I saw this as I'm pulling this up. Trump had tweeted like an hour ago, quote, "Why is it that Republicans are always fighting amongst themselves? Why aren't they fighting radical left Democrats who are destroying the country?" He put that on his platform just a little while ago. And that seems like it's kind of directed at the Gates people. Doesn't it? Because he also said this. This is, where's this at? Audio soundbite 19. He was asked this yesterday. Listen.
Well, I don't want to comment on it yet. I think it's too early. It just happened a little while ago. I've always had a great relationship with him. He said very nice things, I know, this morning about me and the job I've done, Kevin McCarthy, so I appreciate that.
That doesn't sound like a guy who is mad at Kevin McCarthy. By the way, both McCarthy and Gates are Trump guys. And if I'm being honest, it seems like it's like a fight to see who can curry more favor with 45, doesn't it? In a way, that's what it seems like. Because I know that some of you, and by the way, I have not been a fan of McCarthy since before it was cool. Feel like I need to state that. Since back when the Young Guns book came out. Google that. So that's why I'm like, I so much of this is posturing. Both of these dudes, if you're going to, if people are going to lob the establishment, both of them are. Gates literally came from a generationally political office holding family. So don't, just do not. Stop. They're you could both say that they are both establishment then. But I think what enraged me, first off, I really wish that we weren't even having a debate about continuing resolutions at all. In a perfect world, we'd have a budget, right, Kane? We'd have a budget, and we wouldn't be frittering all this cash away. That's a perfect world, but that's not the world in which we live. So the whole, what I saw happening is that we had, because there were a number of proposals that were popping up, et cetera, and one of them, which ended up being endorsed or pushed by Chip Roy and I think even Byron Donalds and others, was one that it wasn't a reduction just like in future spending. It was a reduction, like an 8% reduction across the board in spending. It was not funding Ukraine. It was prioritizing allocated funds for border security, continuing to fund veterans affairs, and then military. And it was just very, it was a 30-day thing. It was just very, very simple. They ended up getting all of, like, almost all of the Republicans. They ended up getting, like, almost everybody to support this. And so it looked like it was going to go through. Now, keep in mind, this still has to go through the Senate, which is Democrat controlled. So this was only ever a starting point for negotiations. And they had to fight tooth and nail to get that. That was the starting point for negotiations. They knew that they were trying to get that up to the Senate. They didn't want to have to accept the Senate's push for Ukraine funding. And it was Gates decided to lead a revolt against that. And that's why we ended up having the CR signed that continued existing levels of funding, including Ukraine, and actually costs. I mean, we're still paying more. We lost the chance to not pay more. Because they want to have this slap fight. And that's exactly what it is. This isn't an issue of whether or not you like someone. This is an issue of whether or not you think this particular move is dumb. We're just paying too much money. And that's, you know, and the whole thing, the soundbite with this, I was asking a couple of people in Congress that are super conservative. I'm like, you be straight with me. I'm like, I'm trying to get this for insight. I'm like, because I want to know what to tell my listeners tomorrow when I go on air. I want to know if you guys are being straight with us. Is there some sort of secret deal? Everyone that I asked, and these are good people, some of whom have had very public fights with McCarthy, who said, no, there is not a deal. But they did caution. They did add this caveat. They said, but if whoever is working with Democrats, whoever ends up securing Democrat support for their tactic, Democrats are using Ukraine funding as leverage. They're going to try to cram that through. That's what they want. Which brings me to a couple of things here. So this is, it was Punchbowl, and then I think Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking to the press, and Hakeem Jeffries was saying that essentially they're going to vote with Matt Gaetz because they are anti-MAGA. What? I'm just looking at the letter that they set out. Hakeem Jeffries puts out, they're going to vote yes on the pending Republican motion to vacate the chair. And they said that they want to find common ground on an enlightened path forward. So they said that they said that given the House Republicans' unwillingness to break from MAGA extremism, they're going to vote yes on vacating the chair. So did Gates, I guess, secure Democrats' help? He would have had to have this, because I know for a fact both factions were talking to Democrats at that point. And I know for a fact that Gates does negotiate with Democrats. That is an absolute irrefutable fact that I mean, hell, even Marjorie Taylor Greene was talking about this literally just to a reporter like an hour ago. So that could be, so is that is he working with it? So does what did he accept? What then would Gates have accepted to get Jeffries to work with him? Is that the Ukraine funding that we're hearing about?
Or it's just Democrats taking advantage of this situation.
Dude, you know that that was one of the things that they were pushing through because that's what they had worked out with Schumer. Yeah. Audio soundbite 12. This is Akeem Jeffries. Oh, man, he's just playing it up. Listen.
We do know that as Democrats, look, we came to Congress to fight to make life better for everyday Americans, build a healthy economy, put people over politics. But the Republicans have been fighting each other from the very beginning. We are in the midst of a Republican civil war. And it is undermining the ability of the Congress to solve problems on behalf of hardworking taxpayers. And
I mean, it's so goofy. It is so goofy and ridiculous. Did he say extreme? Because usually it feels like he gets paid every time he says the word extreme. You know. It's what it looks like. How is he getting this deal with Jeffries then? What is given? Because that's not a McCarthy deal. That's if Jeffries and Democrats are now going to make a deal and move against McCarthy, then that means that if you're talking about plots and schemes, I mean, it was the CR that was killed was the Freedom Caucus CR. That is the Tea Party / Freedom Caucus TR that Gates opposed. He and four others. Now I will tell you what. One thing circulating. Some are saying, and there's a New York Times piece that I've not read yet that just came out, but I've heard this from a couple of other people, that it might less be to like curry favor with Trump or try to rise in Trump's esteem. And it might also less be because, he just hates McCarthy, but McCarthy is interfered with an ethics investigation of him, Gates. So that might be it. And if so, then that means they need to be transparent and release, and the ethics committee needs to release their information. So that's one thing that is floating around there. So we'll see. It's just all so goofy. This is what happens when you do this, like the cloakroom stuff, right? Because then everyone else is, we're all just sitting on the sidelines, twiddling our thumbs, waiting for them to finish their tantrum so we can get on with the business of the day, right? That's what it seems like. I'll have a write-up on the latest with this stuff coming up here, but man alive. All right, a couple of other things that we're also looking at here as we are barreling in here in our third hour. Let me pull this up right here. Did you guys see this statement, Kane, from J.B. Pritzker, the governor of your old state? Did you see this? Okay, so Pritzker, you know, big Democrat in Illinois, right? Literally. He is like a D.C. villain, isn't he? So he sends out this letter. I literally LOL last night reading some of the spin on this. He sends out this letter yesterday. And I'm not going to read the whole entire thing, but it was in the prep email, but I'm going to read some of it. It's addressed to Biden, and Pritzker starts by saying, in the 13 months since the first bus of asylum seekers arrived in Illinois from the border, he says, our state has undertaken an unprecedented humanitarian response to the arrival of now over 15,000 people. And he said that governors and mayors from border states have shipped people to our state like cargo in a dehumanizing attempt to score political points. And he says the people of Illinois are kind and generous, et cetera, et cetera. But he goes, yet the federal government's lack of intervention and coordination at the border has created an untenable situation for Illinois. And he complains about all the money that Illinois has had to spend. $330 million to provide humanitarian aid, all this other stuff, and temporary housing. And he says, Pritzker adds, there is much more that can and must be done on a federal level to address a national humanitarian crisis. So he's complaining about everything that Illinois has to put up with, but he's also saying that this is something that's entirely created by the federal government. He's saying it in a very delicate way. And Democrats don't know how quite to take it because Republicans have been saying, oh, look at this. It looks like the pressure's on. And Democrats are like, there's no pressure. There's no pressure here. He's just, no, that's exactly what Pritzker is saying this. So the audio soundbite, to circle back, that we played earlier, Hakeem Jeffries talking about a civil war on the Republican side. Why no mention of what's happening with your side and all of these Democrat governors and these Democrat mayors and these Democrat senators and these Democrat representatives that are sending letter after letter after letter after letter to the White House saying, where is the federal intervention? Where is the federal response to the situation at the border? If you want to have a discussion about who's having the actual civil war.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so this is crazy. Listen to just, you know, hoisting up by one's own petard. 55 Chinese sailors are feared dead by China after a nuclear submarine theirs got caught in a trap that was intended to snare British and U.S. vessels in the Yellow Sea. 22 officers are apparently amongst the 55 reported to have been killed. China denies that it happened, and it apparently refused international assistance because, you know, they're just so smart, those people. The CCP is so smart. It was described as catastrophic failure of their oxygen systems, which poisoned the crew. Now, China denied that it happened. And then Beijing, though, refused to request international assistance. But they knew there was a submarine there. It's essentially between China and South Korea. They knew. I mean, you know, they can tell that stuff like this is there. So why would you even deny it? It's so goofy. So apparently everything that my grandma told me about swallowing gum was a lie. It does not stay in your system for 7 years. I can't believe we had to have a study about that, but that's true. That's absolutely true. A soccer player is making a historic debut at age 13. Davion Kimbrough, play at 13 years old. He looks older than 13, I gotta say, but he's brought on as a substitute in Sacramento's game against Vegas. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The president's son, Hunter, pleaded not guilty to a gun charge in court today. Does the White House have a comment on that? Has the president been in touch with his son about it?
So here's what I'll say about that, and I've said this many times. You've heard it from the president. The president loves his son. He's going to continue to support him as he rebuilds his life. Not going to speak to any private conversations that this president has with any member of his family that is private. And just to remind you all, as you all know, you guys reported on this, this is an independent Department of Justice investigation. It has been, and which has been led by one of the prosecutors from the last administration. And so we're just not going to comment on the investigation specifically. Okay, Justin.
No, we're just not going to. This is adult baby son. His baby, infant,
hello,
little baby Hunter Biden
son.
Shows up and pleads not guilty. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. I was asking Kane about this, and I went and I have the story saved. And I do you remember when his lawyers came out, Hunter Biden's lawyers, by the way, when his lawyers came out, this is when the charges were really first getting a lot of traction in the press and all of this stuff. And this defense that he was using was that, well, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter because we are going to challenge any kind of, you know, conviction or whatever on this. And they cited this case that Amy Coney Barrett was involved in with regards to white collar criminals and felonies and firearm possession. And it had to do with a case. I think this went, this was a case in which she had written, I believe it was a dissent on, she was saying that prohibiting any kind of, you know, that dangerous is what should be considered with regards to felonies and Second Amendment rights. And it had to do with this case on this guy that basically was Cantor versus Barr. And it had to do with this case where this guy, he was involved in basically using like mail fraud and ended up getting a felony conviction. And of course, that conviction meant he was a prohibited possessor, and that ended up being challenged, turned into a Second Amendment issue. Long story short, the reason I bring all of this up right now is because I remember distinctly when the charges first started making the rounds in the press, Hunter Biden's legal team cited Cantor v. Barr as a potential defense against the charges. But then they said today, and looking at this, that he was clean when he submitted the 4473. So which is it? Which is it? Because he literally told on himself in his own book. So it seems like they're not being honest here, does it? Doesn't really seem like they're being super honest right here. I just got some questions about that. That's what was standing out to me. Forgive me, because I just saw that fly by when we were on break, and I thought, wait a minute. But his legal team cited that Amy Coney Barrett case, the Cantor v. Barr case, when they initially said, when this made the headlines, that they were going to, that would be their route essentially to defend against any kind of charge. So they would say, well, you know, felony doesn't mean, I don't know. I'm very confused about this. This is very interesting. Seems like that's not a very consistent position. So he pled not guilty. And I've said this before. Do I think that he's guilty? Hell yes, I do. I totally think that he lied on his 4473. But I'm not going to pretend that that's the only thing that he should be charged with. And I don't want to get so hyper-focused on just that issue that we forget all of the other things. Oh, I don't know, like, you know, receiving millions of dollars from the CCP while you're selling out American interests to said CCP, thereby jeopardizing our national security. I don't want to overlook that. That's a very serious thing. But that this charge is the only one that they can't extend and implicate in any way Joe Biden. So that's why they're allowing this to go through. So he'll get, you know what they'll do? They're going to wrist slap him. Do you honestly think that anything's going to happen to his infant baby son? You heard KJP talking about it. It's infant baby. He's focusing on rebuilding his life. He's going to rebuild his life, Kane. I mean, you know, I've said this before. I'm going to say it again. So they treat him like a... He's got his head shaved when he went in. Is he getting ready for prison? I'm just wondering. Oh, I am. All right, a couple of other things. They're doing the House vote. They have a series of votes underway, different motions. I told you what I think about this. You got two Trump guys that are fighting this out. What aggravates me, I saw this earlier. My friend Phil Kirpin cited how Gallup reports, listen to this. Gallup has reported all-time highs in voters preferring Republicans on the economy. Now, they started measuring this back in 1951. So the question that was posited to those being surveyed was, quote, looking ahead for the next few years, which political party do you think will do a better job of keeping the country prosperous? And again, it was a Gallup poll. And it's not surprising that it would be really, you know, Republicans that are, I'm like looking at this here. Forgive me, because I'm going to put this in Slack because I saw this from Phil. He's puts in here, he has the graph, 53% prefer Republicans on the economy, all time high. 53%. Democrats didn't have their high until It was a little bit before 20. It was like right around 2020 when Biden won the election. And since then, they've tanked. Absolutely tanked. Red, if you're watching the simulcast, Republicans, blue Democrats. 53% prefer Republicans on the economy. So there's a 14-point advantage that the GOP has on the singular issue of the economy. And that's the highest that that has ever been since March of 1991. Now, that would be an amazing message for Republicans to run on right now. We're going into a very critical election year. People are broke. Gas is going to be more expensive. I told you yesterday how the administration is pushing new gas regulations that's going to force people to buy new furnaces that are Greenie approved. And they want to save you utility. They want to save you money in your utility bills by forcing you to heat your homes less as we approach what's going to be apparently a very cold winter. So, yeah, this is like, you know, this is a crucial measure. This is a crucial thing. And instead of capitalizing on this, we have this fight right now in the House. There's a vote happening in the House to oust someone, and it's not Jamal Bowman. This is how stupid this all is. It's not the guy who actually disrupted proceedings and pulled a fire alarm. No, no, no. It is an ego slap fight between two Trump dudes. Now, it sounds like Trump is not too happy with us. And he has not said anything about Gates, which I think is interesting. But he has said that he's not going to go after McCarthy. And I think it's interesting that Marjorie Taylor Greene's been talking to the press quite a bit. She's actually friendly with Gates. But of Gates and Greene, Greene has the direct line to Trump, not Gates. He does not have the relationship with Trump that Greene absolutely has. So I thought that was very telling, too. Whenever stuff like this happens, I always look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. Because she has the closest, I think, of all the people in Congress, I think she has the closest relationship with 45. And I just think it's very telling. I think kind of Trump is, I think he's already weighed in privately, and I think he's already kind of, you know. But this is what gets me. You have this amazing measure, this amazing survey today on the economy. Where, keep in mind, we've been fighting over the budget. What does this tell you? That 53%, and it's only plus two Republicans, so it's not really like a super measure, right? That doesn't translate to that much of a difference. What does it tell you that 53% of Americans prefer Republicans on the economy when we're having a battle over budget? And you hear the Democrats and their media saying that Republicans are going to get blamed for this. That isn't reflected here. That is not reflected here. So how do you screw this up for yourself? Well, you have the House Freedom Caucus, the most conservative entity in government, that comes out with a bill that really was a reduction in spending, not as one of the other proposals in future spending, but an actual reduction in spending. Completely eliminated funding for Ukraine, funded veterans, military, and border security, which it made a priority. And it gets tanked by a guy who may or may not be taking out his grudge on Kevin McCarthy's ethics involvement out on Kevin McCarthy. And at a time when this survey is released, 53% of people prefer Republicans on the economy, an all-time high. There's a 14-point advantage for Republicans on this. We could have leveraged this for victory on a budget. And instead, you had five Republicans make this move in the House. Does that not seem then that people, perhaps like myself, who are very frustrated and angry over this, doesn't it seem like perhaps our frustration might be a little justified? We hurt ourselves in more ways than one. It's not the Democrats that are the biggest problem for Republicans. It is Republicans that are the biggest problem for Republicans. A 14-point advantage. So all of the fear-mongering about who's going to get blamed for this or that, that was just what I was telling you it was. It was a narrative. That's never wrong. That's never, ever happened. That's never translated into any kind of electoral loss for Republicans ever. Not in the last several general elections, not in the last several midterm elections either. It's never translated into that. So this is incredibly frustrating. Now, who knows? There's so many different scenarios with this. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't, because there's so much cloak and dagger stuff that's going on here. They have a table motion that McCarthy's supporters will submit, which I think is what they're doing right now, the motion to table. And so that's one of the obstacles so that means there's like a 2-day grace period and all this other stuff. There's a lot of votes that could be taking place. So this is going to be a long drawn out thing at a time when, oh my gosh, we could have totally used this. We could have beaten the Senate up and extracted some concessions from them by capitalizing and expanding that gain with this latest survey, which is a pretty good survey and a pretty sizable number of people surveyed. And instead, we just robbed ourselves of that advantage, and we're doing this.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Welcome back to the program. Little Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. Make sure you sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Always good stuff. Do we at least have the audio of the... I still would like to play the thing of the DeSantis thing if we don't have the... where he talks about deporting states' rights with illegal immigrants. Kane, if we can just do the audio of that would be great. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you, when I'm president, we've already said, we are going to unleash the states. They're going to be equal partners with enforcing immigration law. If someone comes across the river illegally into Texas, Texas should be able to send them back. Why do we need to end up in this big process where people are going to court and all this other stuff?
Exactly. Why should they? Because that's the thing. I mean, you have, how many did they say they were sending out for, like, immigration judges and things like that? I mean, a state should be able to do that. And I remember back when Jan Brewer was governor in Arizona. Do you all remember when she was when she tried that? And then it was the Obama DOJ that went after her, and they sued her. They were in so much litigation. A lot of taxpayer dollars used to fight that, and that's what they try to do with every one of these border states that attempts to, you know, actually enforce its own borders, its own and states' rights sovereignty. They sue them, and they try to claim some sort of supremacy. But at the same time, I would say that it's, you know, you're also pushing back a 10th Amendment. You know, you're fighting the commandeering clause, because you cannot have a federal program in which this case, it's the federal policy of open borders, and demand that states not only resource that in terms of manpower, but also in terms of financial power. I mean, there's Supreme Court cases that there's a Supreme Court case that rules against that. So I know I've asked Dan Patrick about this before, the LG, and I've also, I think, asked Ken Paxton, the AG, about this of Texas. And I know that there's a number of suits that they have against the federal government. But to DeSantis's point there and that soundbite, that's, you know, that's a very good one, because it's insane that you have to go through all of that in the first place. And spend all of that time and go through all of that legal purgatory, because how many of the, I mean, honestly, at that point, no one's getting deported. All right. Today in Stupidity, Kane.
All right. It's KJP. As you know, inflation is out of control. Prices are up all across the country. Yet from the podium, this is what she says.
That's what the president's going to do. He's going to continue to figure out how we're going to lower costs for the American people. That's Bidenomics.
Bidenomics.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me cringe whenever I hear that word.
I know.
And Bidenomics isn't working. So stop acting like Bidenomics is going to fix it.
Everybody's broke. All right, folks, make sure you sign up for Substack, because I'll have updates of everything going on in the House, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go. Have a great evening. I will be back behind the mic with you tomorrow.